Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the NFT Pioneers. Today, I have a really special guest with me. It's Maximilian Schmidt. He's from one of the largest consulting agencies in Europe, EY. He is the digital strategist. And welcome, Max.
Welcome, man. Thanks for having me.
It's really nice having you. Can you maybe introduce yourself and the work you do at EY?
Yes, absolutely. I think you actually said most of it already. My name is Maximilian Schmidt. I work for EY. I'm based in Zurich. I'm in a team called Disruptive Technology. So we spend our time on blockchain topics, NFT, DAOs, DeFi, and Web3, and also the metaverse.
Perfect. My first question to you, Max, would be like, I'm going to ask this question to everyone in the first season. Because like it's a buzzword and everyone defines it different. And I just want to know how you define it. Could you tell us what is the metaverse and what is Web3?
You started with one of the hardest questions. I like it. But I think it's a very tricky question, especially now because we're so early and we hear everywhere how early we are. So there is no real definition for these terms yet. How I personally define it is basically Web3 for me is somewhat like the roof of all the topics. We have basically blockchain as a foundation and the technology powering all these Web3 enablers. And Web3 enablers for me are NFTs, DeFi, DAOs, VR, AR, of course, and also the metaverse. The metaverse for me goes in the direction of immersive virtual worlds. And of course, all these topics I just mentioned, for me, they're of course interconnected. NFTs play a big role in virtual worlds as well. AR, VR, the same. So I think it's very, very connected. But for me, the metaverse is part of the Web3 topic or space, so to say.
Got it. I love the answer, especially with blockchain being the foundation and the metaverse the rooftop. I love it. Perfect analogy. What would your number one tip be for people getting into the Web3 space and just want to get started?
So I think my number one tip or tips maybe would first of all be have fun, be curious. There's so much amazing stuff going on. Don't be afraid, experiment with the topics and just be curious about it. On the same note, I would also say stay safe. I mean, it's still a place where you have to be a bit careful. We read about scams and rug pulls and all this kind of stuff still, unfortunately, quite frequently. So I think educate yourself and there are amazing resources on YouTube, Discord, Twitter available where you can do so. And also, I think for me, most importantly, or what fascinates me a lot about the space is try to understand the technology behind it. What is an NFT? What can you do with an NFT? And I think this opens up a new world of possibilities, which are really, really fascinating. And I guess we probably touched on this during our conversation a little bit as well. And cut through the hype a little bit and see what's beyond it. And I think if you understand the technology behind it, how it works, what you can do with it, I think that's a really good starting point.
Absolutely. How did you get into the Web3 space? Did you just read an article or did your colleagues tell you, hey, Max, there is something called Web3? Like, how did you get educated or how did you hear the first about it?
Yeah, so actually, so my very first starting point was around 2016-17 when I first heard about blockchain and try to understand how blockchain works, but then to be honest I didn't really quite get it and was still a bit confused about it, and then into NFTs especially I got into around 2019 via Nifty Gateway, buying my first NFT. It was actually a Favocious NFT. I still remember that. Bought it, flipped it the same night, and since then I'm hooked. And then, yeah, I basically started flipping NFTs, if I can say it like this, and then try to understand a little bit what's behind it and how does the stuff work.
Got it.
And that's how I got into it, and it still stuck to me. Yeah.
First, I heard was like 2 years ago. I heard about NFTs, and then I was like, okay, I'm curious. Like, what is it? Let's research. And then after I researched about NFTs, there always popped up smart contracts, and then it popped up blockchain. And then I was like, I can't fully understand NFTs without understanding smart contracts. And I can't understand smart contracts if I don't understand the blockchain. And then I remember spending 50, 60 hours just researching on the blockchain. Like, what is it? What are the pros? What are the cons? Like, for what can you use it? And then after I learned about blockchain, I know the foundations, and then I moved on to smart contracts. I learned about them. I actually read both of the white papers from, I forgot the name of the guy that invented smart contracts, but he basically launched, he wrote one in 1995, I guess, like, and one in 2015. And I actually read both, and then I watched a lot of videos. After I had like an understanding for the blockchain and smart contracts, then I moved into NFTs and like how we can use it for marketing purposes and also for like other use cases. But let's move on. What is like one thing currently missing in the Web3 industry in your point of view?
Yeah, very good question. So I think one of the points that's missing for me is maybe even the safety aspect currently. It's still somewhat of a wild west when it comes to certain areas, and it's still not for everyone who's not into the tech stuff so much. It's very much even a dangerous place at some point. So I think this, the safety aspect could be improved a little bit. Then I think a very important point, and you mentioned this as well, is the education part of it. I think it's so early that education is such an important part and plays such an important role to make people less afraid and understand the environment better. Yeah. And then the other two points that come to mind is maybe even regulation. I think a lot of people don't want to hear this, but I think regulation can actually be a good thing. And then there still is, in my point of view, somewhat of a tech barrier. So you still need to have a crypto wallet, you need an Ethereum address and whatnot to enter the space. And a lot of people, I don't want to say the older people, but you probably know what I mean, they are afraid to use it. They don't understand it, and then the entrance barrier is too high for them. And I think if we want to, let's say, grow in the future, this has to be lowered.
Totally. I just want to add like one point to the regulations part. Like, everyone in the Web3 space, especially on Twitter, everyone is like, fuck the government, we don't need them. Yeah, decentralization will win, till the point when they get scammed, and then everyone cries for the government. I think the question is always like, if we say we want decentralization, but then there is a point where you have like not only the upsides but also the downsides, like getting hacked. I think having a regulation would be very beneficial, as you said.
Yeah, absolutely. And to make the whole space a lot safer, so no one gets scammed anymore, and it's just a safer place to navigate, which then in the end results on mass adoption and just more fun for everyone.
Yeah. Obviously, EY is working with big brands. Like, in which topics are they seeking the most support from you concerning Web3?
Yeah. So, of course, I can't name any names, but we're being approached by clients across industry and also very interestingly from a very broad range of departments. So we speak to the CEO, we speak to the CFO, we speak to the CIO, CMO, also HR departments approaching us asking very different questions. Some of our clients, they just basically heard the buzzword and want to understand what's behind it and how it can be useful for their business, for their department. But also on let's say the other end of the spectrum, we're being approached by clients who have a very good understanding of how the technology works, what an NFT is, and how they could possibly use it for their business. And then they want to take it to the next level on various, let's say, levels in terms of strategy. So we help develop strategies. Mm-hmm. We help with the tech side of it, as well as with, I mean, EY is an audit company at heart. So we do have some knowledge in compliance issues and regulatory topics, tax and legal, which are, if you want to launch an NFT project nowadays, these are aspects you have to keep in mind, especially Absolutely. When it comes to the bigger brands.
Are they more like, hey guys, just educate us, or are they also saying, hey, we want to enter that regardless of if you're understanding it or not? Are they more like, hey, Maximilian, educate us, or are they more like, hey, do that for us?
I'll actually say both. So you definitely have the clients which are, I would call them maybe a bit shy and maybe haven't heard about it that much and are even a little bit afraid about the space. And mm-hmm. then you obviously have to explain why does it make sense to buy virtual land? A lot of people don't understand. It doesn't make sense. And then if you explain a use case and how it works, then slowly it makes sense. And then so everyone I speak to, in the end, they're hooked and they love the topic when they understand how it works, what's the benefit, when you actually show them real life use cases and ideally not just PowerPoint slides, but if you jump into, for example, Decentraland, mm-hmm. where we have an office, if you walk around with them, everyone understands and gets it.
Would you say Web3 is the next change of consumer behavior?
I could at least very well imagine it. Yeah, I think Web3, and I think we already see this now, that it has an impact on exactly consumer behavior or how you interact with your consumers and your clients and your community. Even if we're that early, we see a lot going on in exactly this direction. So I'm very excited about what's to come.
How is EY approaching Web3 and Metaverse? I want to give you context on that question. I know, for example, Pepsi, in cooperation with Gary Vaynerchuk, they started last year on winter, I guess it was October, November, they started going all in on the NFT projects. Is like EY, like in the company EY, especially like in your country, is like Metaverse and NFT already a big topic in the agency? Or is it like, hey, we have a small department who does that, but it didn't like grabs a lot of attention in the company?
Yeah, so I think it definitely grabs a lot of attention. It's one of our key focus topics, besides, of course, sustainability and ESG. The Metaverse Web3 is absolutely on everyone's radar. In my team, we are the expert on it, and we spend almost 24 hours a day on the topic at work and also privately, myself and then basically all my colleagues as well. So we are a bit of the nerds, I would say, in some regards. But we're being approached by basically every department at the moment people want to understand what's behind it, what do we do, and how can they get involved. And for example, we as EY, we call it EY Talent Tree. It's our virtual building in Decentraland, which we use for recruiting purposes, for example, for alumni meetings, which we actively use on a regular basis.
Got it. What would you say are the biggest mistakes when it comes to NFT projects?
The biggest mistakes, in my opinion, in NFT projects I see are, first of all, I'll say copycats. You have a lot of NFT projects which are just copying the art, the idea of other successful NFT projects and just exploit the hype, so to say. And the other issue for me is, I mean, it's obviously a hype topic. If you look at the activity button and on OpenSea, there's so much going on. And it's, I'm sometimes missing the added benefit. So a lot of projects, they jump on the hype train to maybe make a quick buck. Mm-hmm. In worst case, do like a rug pull or another type of scam, which is, for me, very frustrating to see, because I think it's such an amazing space to be in. Mm-hmm. But I think if you've been rug pulled twice and scammed three times, the enthusiasm goes away a little bit.
Yeah, like I also see it with big brands when I look at their project, especially in the fashion industry. I feel like that those fashion brands tend to just copy other fashion brands because it worked for them. And then they're like, hey, this also will work for us. But as we know, like every NFT strategy is based on the vision and mission of the company, and especially based on the custom experience your brand wants to offer your audience, your community. And as you mentioned it, like one of the biggest problems is just copying other projects because they did well. That's not a good strategy, because in the end, you have a different product, you have a different customer journey, or a different customer experience you want to offer, and a different vision and mission, and especially a different brand.
Absolutely.
Now, a topic that interests me the most, how would you define a successful project? Because when I discuss this topic with other, I would say, colleagues, they are always like, when it sells out and if it's backed by a big company, like, how would you define a successful project?
Yeah, I'm very curious to hear what the other speakers will say or answer to these questions. A successful NFT project for me is basically, it has a great team, a diverse team of let's say a technical background, someone who does the strategy, maybe the art and tokenomics, maybe even. And I think a good NFT project is bold and innovative. You solve a problem or you make something better than it was before. And this could be reflected in a roadmap. So when I look at an NFT project, I always look at the team and, of course, the Twitter followers, how active they are, and of course also what's their roadmap, what's their vision, and how do they want to achieve this vision. And then I think another success factor is of course the community. If you don't have the community and engage it and include them, I think don't do an NFT project. And then ideally also a great use case. So why do you use NFT as a technology? Why don't you use something else? And mm-hmm. I think these points together, which are very hard to achieve, they make a successful NFT project.
Would you say we already can define which projects are successful, or are we too early for that?
Oh, that's a good question. I think we're seeing some of very, very successful NFT projects at the moment. But the space is so dynamic and there's so much change going on, and you have new players coming along hourly, basically, that it will be a big question if the big players who are now big will be still big in 5 or 10 years. I don't know. But I think we've seen some really, really interesting ideas. But then, just to give an example, for example, Azuki, and not to go into too much detail, one of the most hyped projects, I think, in the NFT space, they had a scandal overnight, and overnight they lost reputation, they lost the floor price, if you want to go by that, and all these things. So this shows how volatile the whole space is, and how quickly things can change.
Yeah, you mentioned a perfect example, Azuki. Like the project founder, I think you're meaning the tweet that he posted, that he said, hey, we already launched like 3 projects in the past and we learned from that. And that's why Azuki is so successful. And basically what he did just was rug pull the last 3 projects, take the money and then put it into Azuki. Do you see that Azuki can become like one of the blue chip projects, especially with like the founder admitting that he rug pulled 3 projects?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and I mean the debate if Azuki is or will be a blue chip project has been going on for quite a while, mm-hmm. And I think they never just quite made it, and I think exactly what you mentioned, let's say around the scandal, it hurt them a lot. They do still have a very, very strong community on Twitter, on Discord, which I think makes it very, very a very, very powerful project. But what I am, to be honest, lacking a little bit in Azuki is like the long-term vision and the innovation. I mean, I think they had the batch minting ERC 721A smart contract, which was somewhat of a innovation. But since then, I'm missing a little bit of the greatness. But let's see. I mean, anything can happen.
How would you define a blue chip project?
that's a tricky one.
I can give you context. Yeah. Like for me, it's my point of view. I may be wrong. Please correct me. Like, I think to define a blue chip project, in my point of view, we are way too early, because as I see it, the project is not successful if you sell it out or if it's backed by a major brand. Because if you look at the last 12 months, there were a lot of projects that sold out. And if you look at them again, they are non-existent today on the market. And I think especially with the big brands like launching their NFT projects, they sell out. That's perfect. But that's not a guarantee for that the community will be still active in 1 year, 2 years, or in 5 years, and if the NFT and the utility is still going to be traded. I think to define a blue chip project, we're way too early. Like some of the other colleagues, they say CryptoPunks and Bored Ape Yacht Club, those are blue chip projects because they have like a high trading volume and they have a high floor price. I mean, that's right, but it's just for now. Who knows if like this will hold in the next 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years. Like, nobody knows it, and we're way too early to tell. Like, those are blue chip projects, in my opinion. If they are still on the market, let's say Bored Ape Yacht Club or Azuki, if they are still on the market after like 5 years and they still have an engagement from the community side and their NFT is being used, in my point, you could define the project as successful. That's my
point. I absolutely agree. And I think it's still very early, exactly. And I think what defines a blue chip or a valuable project or a project that interests me is a project that innovates, that does something new and executes it spot on and perfectly. And if you just do an NFT project for the sake of doing an NFT project, I think that's not the case. If you have a, let's say, a use case or maybe even a problem, an issue, and the NFT or a vision, and an NFT is the right technology to solve it and make it better, that absolutely, that's how it will work. And if you then innovate, I think, and I'm always a bit reluctant to mention the Bored Ape Yacht Club, because it's, everyone has heard it now, everyone thinks it's great, and it got a bit boring. But now I think what Yuga did with the other side, Metaverse recently, has been nothing but amazing.
Yeah.
I've seen their testing. It's really, really amazing, and they execute it perfectly. It's an innovation, and it's something new.
Perfect, got it. You mentioned earlier that Azuki like started crashing after the founder posted a tweet. Like, I followed I followed that very closely. Yeah, I followed the engagement very closely, and the thing is, when the whole floor price started like falling like a stone, and like basically there was like a crypto winter and nobody was really buying NFTs, but Azuki was at that time one of the projects that had the most sales. Like, during the crypto winter, Azuki sales just started increasing, and my thought was, because I didn't believe that people would, after that, like after the scandal, that people would try to buy on the project. And I thought that they maybe are buying back their own NFTs, maybe also to have like a control in the market in regards to their floor price. Would you say this would be a good strategy for an NFT project, to buy back their own NFTs during market crashes to have more impact, let's say, on the project?
It's an interesting question. To be honest, I haven't thought about it that much. Let's say from an economic point of view, it could make sense. Mm-hmm. My first initial reaction would be, it's not something the community, and that's, I think, what's one of the pillars of a successful NFT project, would appreciate, unless it's being communicated very transparently and brought to the community. Mm-hmm. Maybe even, I mean, now we of course have the DAO, Decentralized Autonomous Organization topic floating around Web3, where community members can actually be part of decision making. If this would be something that they would be put up for a vote, for example, mm-hmm. and then the community would vote, yes, let's do it. Why not? If you do it somewhat, I don't want to say sneakily, but in private, I could very well imagine that if this comes out, it's not received that well.
Yeah. If someone in the audience is saying, hey, Max, I want to start my own NFT project, how should they do it?
Also a good question. So I think it's the same approach if a client approaches us with more or less the same question. And I always, let's say, take a step back and try to understand what's the vision they have, what's maybe the problem the client wants to solve, and if an NFT or blockchain is really the best suited technology for it, because it might well be that it's not. So I'd first answer the question, why NFTs? What's the benefit of having an NFT, or what's the benefit of having a blockchain instead of a database, for example? Mm-hmm. And then come up with a good team, of course, it helps think about a long-term vision. Where do you want to go? And how do you want to use the technology? And I think also how to include your community into it. And then, honestly, get a motivated team and let's fucking go.
My last three questions. Which brand did, in your opinion, a good NFT project and why?
Yeah, so I think one I mentioned already, I think it's really Yuga with the Bored Apes, of course. But now what really made it amazing to me was the other side, or at least what we've seen so far. Full disclosure, I actually do own some land there and have participated in the tests on the weekend and before. And I think the execution is just amazing. And it's just a good fun to be part of it. And I think what's incredible, I mean, what they basically did is a user test with a couple of thousand volunteers. And I can tell you, if we want to do a software test, it's very hard to find unpaid people who want to test your software for an hour. It's amazing how they did it. So this is really a project I'm following very closely and involved in. Another one I really like is 10KTF. I like the gamification of their project. The storytelling is really cool, and also their partnership with Gucci, I think, is really cool to bridge the gap between physical and digital world. And another project I really like, and this has also been on the news, I think, so quite public, is from a very different industry. It's actually Alfa Romeo. Mm-hmm. They record their vehicle data as NFTs, generating certificates that they can basically assure that the car has been maintained, serviced, and then in the end increase the value of the asset of the car. And I think this is something that interests me a lot. Also in, let's say, the work environment, how can we use the technology to make something better? And I think this is really, really a cool example.
That's right. How should brands navigate their NFT projects during market crashes? Like, we are now in a crypto winter. What would you recommend the big brands? How should they navigate through that hard times?
Yeah, so it's a very relevant question. Very, very recent issues on the market have shown it is a very volatile space to be in. But actually, I would recommend don't be afraid. Use this time to build and experiment now. I mean, look at the bright side. Ethereum is very cheap now. It hasn't been this cheap in quite a while. So it's, for me, a cheap entrance point into this world. And then just play around with this technology. Buy some Ether, get a crypto wallet, familiarize yourself with the topic, because I think NFTs are here to stay. Web3, the metaverse, is here to stay. So the sooner you are familiar with the technology, understand it, and can steer around it safely and confidently, mm-hmm. The better it will be in the future. And if you are in the middle of having a project, use the time to build now. I mean, I would see it very positively and embrace it.
Love it. Don't be afraid, just build. I love it. The last question is, what will, in your opinion, contribute to a mass adaptation of NFTs and Web3?
Yeah, I think some of the points we touched upon already, in my point of view, I think one important factor will be breaking the tech barrier to make the whole entrance into the space easier. And basically, my mom should be able to steer around the metaverse, Web3, mm-hmm. confidently without being afraid. And for this, I mean, it has to become a safer space, mm-hmm. Whatever this will mean then. And I think very important also to see some real utility, to really deliver value and innovate and make, quite frankly, make things better, so that everyone who's skeptical of it understands why there's benefit in it. And I think then the mass adoption is just around, not around the corner, it's still a long way to go, but then people will understand and it will come naturally.
Thank you, Maximilian. It was really nice having you on the podcast. And thanks for listening, guys. Make sure to leave a follow, like this video, and share it with your friends and family. And we will see you and hear you on another podcast. Bye, Maximilian.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. Take care.